I'm excited that God, the word that God has for today. If you have not downloaded the church app, I want to encourage you to do it right now. You can do it easily right now. You go to Google Play or the App Store if you are one of those iPhone people. But Google Play Store or App Store, and you can download Cornerstone app. You type in the search bar Cornerstone Delco, and it'll come up. You'll see our two crosses symbol there, our logo there. And you can download that right away, and within just seconds, it'll be on your phone. And I want to let you know that before we get into the Word, there's a Bible inside of our app where you can just click on the tile right there that says Bible. You touch that, you type in the reference that we're going to be in, Isaiah 55, if you want to get started. And you can choose whatever translation you like, and you can have the Bible at your access at all times. It's awesome. At your fingertips, all right? Now, there's another feature. I remember we told you more about this app each week. There's another feature on your phone if you have the app. And you download it, you go up to the little menu in the top left-hand corner. Again, I know you can't see it, but I can see it. So Cornerstone, it's loading right now, so it means a lot of people are using it, but that's okay. In the top left-hand menu, you'll see, you just click on that, those three little bars in the top left-hand corner, and you will see a drop-down that says notes. You can take sermon notes right here on the spot in your phone. Nobody's going to think you're texting. We live in the 21st century, so we know that the phone is pretty much your lifeline to a lot of things. So you can have sermon notes, the Bible right there all on your phone, all of it at the palm of your hand. People are excited. I can see it in your faces already. They're like, oh, yay, yay. But no, I want to let you know that is made available to you. So I encourage you to take notes. We encourage people to take notes because, you know, when you leave, how many people have you ever just gone home and were like, that was a great sermon. What was it about? I couldn't tell you the faintest thing it was about. You know what I mean? We all do that. But I do believe that God does a work in our lives even while we're listening to it. Though we may not remember every detail to it, God does a work as you listen, absorb, and allow Him to do a change in your life. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your church app, you can go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and just for a second, we're not going to get there just yet. And Bron, could you do the New International Version, please, instead of NLT? Thanks. This morning's message, if you're taking notes and you want to use your awesome new Cornerstone app, Note Taker, you can entitle it Replenish. Replenish. How many of you know that we need to be refreshed and replenished? The word replenish means to fill up again. And to refresh, right? Now, there's many things in our lives as people in the 21st century that drain our energy. So many things that are pulling at us from different areas of life that are draining us of our energy, our passion, and our drive. Whether it's relationships with people, whether it's people in general, whether it's our work, whether it's ministries that we're in. We get tired because there's so many things that demand our attention, right? And there's these expectations that are there that come with all of these with all of these things in our lives, these demands, whether they're perceived expectations or things that are truly expectations, nonetheless they're expectations, whether we place them on ourselves or not. And we feel that our expectations, they demand to be met. Right? They demand to be met. And so we wake up every morning and we do it all over again. We wake up. And you drain yourself, and you give of yourself, and your passion, and your drive, and your energy, and you give, and you give, and you give. You wake up every morning only to do it all again. And all the while, you're longing for something more. You're longing for something deeper. Filled afresh. How many of you know the feeling of what you give so much of yourself that you just... just give and you give and you give of yourself and you give of your time and your energy. That really the only way to describe it, Bronwyn, if you could put up that picture, is to look like this. That is dead grass. All right? It's still there. It's grass. It exists. But it is not being nourished. It is dry. It's brittle. It's gasping for refreshment. It's gasping to be replenished. It is crying out, water me, isn't it? And isn't that how we feel sometimes in our lives? That we drain, we drain, we drain. On the inside, there's something that is crying out, water me, refresh me. I need to be replenished. And so the only way to describe it is that your insides feel like dry grass. It hasn't been rained on in a while. Well, this morning, God, I want you to know that God is inviting you to be replenished, to be revived, to be refreshed. Now, if you don't know it yet, I've already said it today, and we just kind of said it, but if you don't know it yet, I'm here to tell you that you are a needy person. You're a needy person. That's okay. It's okay. But you're a needy person. If you haven't come to that realization yet, it's all right. You'll come to it. But you were created to be dependent upon God for everything in life. You were created to be completely 100% solely in need of God to satisfy everything you need in life, including the replenishment of your soul. Well, why does my soul even need to be replenished? What is a soul, for that matter? Why? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. A lot of your translations will say that man became a living being or a living creature. Well, the actual word in the Hebrew is nephesh, and that word is soul. And it's very, very adamant that it's soul. And so I want you to understand that God breathed life into you and you became a living soul. So humans are living souls. You are a living soul. You do not possess a soul. You are a living soul. And when we look through the Bible of this word nephesh, this word soul, we see it so many times connected throughout the Word of God to our basic essential needs like appetite and hunger, cravings, longings, desires. So many times throughout the Word of God you see this word and it's connected in some way, shape, or form to the deepest essential needs of a person. So in a sense, your soul is the seat of the foundational and elemental essential needs of a person. It's where your basic foundational needs are to be met. It is the soul that longs and yearns for and hungers for the deeper things in life. So therefore, you and I as living souls and individuals, we're individuals with these concrete and specific needs. And this is a soul that comes directly from God. Remember Genesis 2. This soul that you have comes directly from God and is in constant need of refreshing. And so our soul longs and it yearns and it hungers for something more. It thirsts. It's parched. It has to constantly be refreshed with the things that only can be supplied by the one who created it. It can only be supplied by the one who created it. So this morning, you are a needy person. Amen. Your souls need constant replenishing. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 3. We're going to probably read the whole chapter. We'll see what happens. But if you've come here this morning, and within you is this thirst in your heart, and there's no other way to describe it than to describe it as you have this hunger and this yearning and thirst for more. And your heart feels right now, today, like the brown grass in your backyard. Parched. Feeling like it hasn't rained in a long time. Feeling that you are empty or unfulfilled or dissatisfied. If that's you this morning, then I want you to know that the Lord is going to say to you today that you are exactly the type of person He's looking for. You're exactly the type of person He's looking for. Because He knows that everyone that He has created needs their soul to be refreshed, replenished, refilled again and again and again and again and again. In this passage this morning, you're going to discover how to replenish your soul in Isaiah 55. Now, before we read into it, I want to just give you a little bit of context because it's really important to know in anything you read why it was written and who it was written to. The context of anything you read in the Bible is essential. So Just a little bit of teaching right there. When you're reading the Bible, find out who it was written to and why it was written to them, and it changes your entire perspective of the Word of God when you're reading it. So the context of this, of what we're about to read. Now I want you to imagine for a second, the people of God, the Israelites, they have just been exiled out because they've been conquered by Babylon. Babylon came in and swept them out, and they were in exile to Babylon. And so they had been scattered to Babylon, and Babylon was now they were in captivity to the Babylonian Empire. Okay? So what we're actually picking up on is the return of the Israelite people coming back to this land that God had once promised them, and then they got exiled out of it. Alright, so what happened was the Babylonians came in, they swept them out of their land, they scattered them, they took them as captives into their empire, and then as time went on, the Babylonians got conquered by the Persians, and then the Persian king, King Cyrus the Great, actually, it's a beautiful story where he allowed the Israelite people to go back to their homeland. So we are picking up kind of in the prophet Isaiah where they have been returned to their land. All right, they were gone for such a long time. And so this word that we're going to read is going out to God's people, and he's calling them not only to return to them, but he's giving them the formula, for lack of a better word, of how to live a life of constant replenishment. And how never to be dried out again so that this kind of stuff happens again. And so the Israelites, as you can imagine, they're now feeling empty, unfulfilled, almost like they let down God. God, we let you down. We turned our backs on you. And all along you were saying that you are the only true God that we're supposed to be worshiping. And we worshiped other idols and we gave our hearts to some other things. And God, all along we should have been looking to you. I'm sorry, God. You can just imagine what the Israelites were feeling. Empty. Unfulfilled. Dissatisfied. And God is saying to them that you are my people. And if you do this, if you do these things that I'm going to show you, you will find refreshment for your soul. You see, God not only offers you refreshment, a replenishment, he expects for us to stay replenished. Our bodies need constant replenishment. Our souls need constant replenishment. As we give of ourselves, that we give and give and give and give and give and give and give, we're left dry. We have to be replenished by God. And so how do we get this replenishment? If you're taking notes, you can write these four words down. Come, listen, seek, and call. Come, listen, seek, and call on God. Okay, here we go. We're finally at the text. Here we go. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Now, I'm using the New International Version for this, but the New International loses something, the very first word that the King James and the New American Standard Bible have. Imagine right there the word H-O. With an exclamation mark. And it's not actually pronounced ho, it's actually pronounced oi! Alright? Now that is very significant here. Alright? Isaiah is saying, oi! Okay? And it means exactly what you think it means. It's calling someone's attention to something important. Alright? So Isaiah is speaking for the Lord here and he's saying, I'm calling your attention to something important. Oi! Or if we translate it into Philadelphian, it would be, hey, yo! Hey, yo! Listen up here! Same context. Here we go. Hey, yo, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Let's stop right there. Now right away, you see that word come. This is the first thing. Come. And you see that right away, you see the condition of the person that this word is going out to. What is the condition of the person that this word is going out to? It is those who are thirsty and with no money. So those who are parched and penniless. In other words, those of you who are infinitely in need. Hey, listen, yo. And he's saying, come. And he's saying, come, all who are thirsty, all to the waters, are you who have no money, I want you to come and buy and eat. Come and be refreshed with wine and milk without spending, without money and without cost. He's saying, God is saying here, come, refresh yourself for free. There's no cost here. It's an invitation. This word come is an invitation to the people of God, saying, come to me. Come to where the source of life is. What is the source of life? We need water for the source of life. It's the source of all life on this earth. Come to the waters. Come and receive. It's all yours. I'm offering you what you need, all that you need, free of charge. If you simply accept my invitation, you can have it free of charge. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Fill yourself. Fill yourself. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Enjoy yourself. Replenish yourself. Fill yourself, free at cost. Here is my invitation. The word is come. Come. Now, it's important to understand, here in this invitation by God, that to be close to God in a personal and intimate way is something still very new and still something very, it's a very new concept and a fresh thing for the Israelite people. It's not until that we get to the prophets such as Isaiah, the writings of the prophets, where we see God making a vast attempt to be intimate in a personal fellowship with his people. In the earlier writings, we see God reveal himself as the I Am, the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords, the one to be worshipped. And we see him revealed as we go further in the Old Testament, we see him revealed as a strong and mighty warrior who protects his people, a God who provides for his people. This is how God is revealed up to himself. And there's a progression of God revealing himself. If you study the Old Testament, there's a progression of how God reveals himself. And it's not until we get to the prophets such as Isaiah where God is saying, I want more from you guys. I want a personal, intimate relationship. I'm inviting you to come and be with me. And it's a really powerful thing. And so we see here that God is inviting them to come to him, to come near, to come close. And this is the first step towards replenished soul. Come. Accept the invitation. Don't wait for him to come to you. He's here. Come to him. And the door of invitation is always open. Come. Come. In verse 2. He goes on to say, why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? He says, listen. Underline that word in your Bible if you underline things. Come and listen. Listen, listen to me, he says. And eat what is good. And your soul, you ready for this? Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. In the King James it says, your soul will delight in abundance. If you listen to me, he's saying, if you come and listen, and he's saying, feed off of me, eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. I want to point out something here in the Hebrew, that word for good. Now, when we read over it in our English, this word good is like, we got so many words better than good. We've got great, we got awesome, we got spectacular. You know? But this word in the Hebrew is the best that God has to offer. So don't just breeze over eat what is good. He's saying here, take and feed and delight yourself on the best that God has to offer you. That's what that word good means. It is offering God's best. It is not his second best. It is not just some tricklings or some leftovers. It is God's best. And so he says, listen, listen to me, people. Those of you who are unfulfilled and dissatisfied, and you feel like the rain hasn't fallen on your life in such a long time, come and fill yourself afresh, free of charge. Listen, listen to me. Feed yourself and fill yourself on that which is the best that God has to offer your life. He's saying, pay attention to me. Listen. Pay attention to me. Feed on what is good, and I will give you my best. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. That's what that word good translates to. The finest. that God has to offer. And he says, your soul, if you do that, your soul, if you feed on what is good, if you eat on what is good, your soul will delight in the richest of God's fare. I want you to notice the connection here between listening and eating. He says, listen. He says, listen and eat what is good. This isn't eating, this is throwing up, sorry. Listen and eat what is good. I want you to see that connection here between listening and ingesting. Listening and taking in. Listening and taking in. You see, we're not merely to listen with our ears of what God is saying and commanding us, but we are to take it in. We are to ingest it. Deuteronomy 8, also repeated by Jesus in the wilderness, says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is how you live. This is how you live. You feed on what is good. Come. The invitation is open. Those of you who are thirsty, hungry, penniless, those of you who are infinitely in need, God is saying, come. And partake of everything that I have to give you. Listen to what is good and eat what is good. Take it in. Ingest it. Ingest the best that I have to offer you. And he continues on in verse 3 and he says, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. He makes it personal right there. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. But he says here, give ear. Give ear. Now this is where listening relates to obedience. See, we cannot just listen to what he says without doing. We have to be people of obedience. We have to be people of obedience. So to give ear, or if you have the King James or the New American Standard, the word there are incline your ear. To give ear or incline your ear means to obey what you're hearing. Obey what you're hearing. In other words, it's this. Move in the direction that you are hearing. It is obedience to the direction that you're hearing. You with me? Incline your ear. Give me your ear so that your soul may live. So he's saying here, move in the direction of what you're hearing in obedience to the direction that you're hearing it. And he goes on to say, hear me so that your soul may live. Hear me that your soul may live. Obey my word. Incline your ear. Move in the direction of what you're hearing me say to you so that your soul may live. Now here's the word for shall live. You ready for this? In the Hebrew, we read it as shall live, but it means to revive. To be refreshed. It means to be preserved. So what he's saying here, incline your ear. Give ear to me. Move in the direction in obedience of what I'm saying to you. And your soul will be revived, refreshed, and preserved. Amen? These are good words, folks. These are God's words. And this word of God is alive and it is active. This is not the Old Testament where it doesn't matter anymore. This is the same God who was and is to come. And so these words are truth. And they are to be applied in your life. And if you are here today and you're thirsty and you're hungry and you're feeling this dried up well within inside of you, here is the secret, the mysteries of God's words, to come, listen, and obey. And you will find your soul to be revived, refreshed, and preserved. And he goes so far to say that not only is your soul going to be revived, but in the verse previous it says it's going to delight in the richest affair. Not only is your soul going to be in survival mode, revived back to survival mode, but your soul is going to delight in the riches of fare, in the abundance of God. It will delight in the best that God is offering to you. Come, listen. And he goes on to say, scroll down to verse 6. Here's the next word, seek. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Those are the last two words. Come, listen, seek, and call. The Hebrew word here for the word seek means to tread frequently. It doesn't mean to just to look for. It doesn't mean to just to search. It does imply search, but it also means to pursue hard after, to tread frequently, to follow, it means to consult with him. It means to ask. It means to examine. It means to inquire. And it means to study. That's what this word seek means. All of those things are this meaning of this word. Seek. To follow hard after. And to tread frequently. That's a key word. See is to seek is to tread frequently. Not just when you're dry, friends. Not just when you're dry, but to tread frequently. To tread frequently. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Tread frequently while he may be found, because one day it might be too late. Follow hard in pursuit after him. Learn from him. Do as he do. Do as he does. Seek the Lord. And finally, call upon. Come, listen, seek, and call upon. Call upon him while he is near. You know, God is not planning to move away. But at times, we, just like the Israelites, we move ourselves away, don't we? I mean, I think we could all, if we're honest with ourselves, say that we're a lot like the Israelites, where we have this relationship with God where we move ourselves away from God. And we tend to put this barrier between us and him, perhaps because it's the guilt of sin. Perhaps maybe you're mad at God for not allowing something to happen and turn out the way that you wanted. Whatever it is, we all go through times like this, where we want God to be who he is, but we want to keep it kept at a distance. It's like this. I've heard it put like this. We're saying, God, come on. Come on. Come on, God. But whoa, that's not too close now. Not too close. That's good, God. Right there. That's far enough. That's right there. I want who you are. I want who you are to be. I want who you are to be known in my life. But God, let's just keep it at a little bit of a distance. Because to be truly close to him means that we have to give things up in our lives. It means that things in our lives are going to have to change. And we all know how hard that is. God doesn't, though it's hard, he makes it easy. He makes it easy. When you come to him, listen and seek him and call upon his name, he wants that closeness. He doesn't make it unbearable for you. To be close to him is, we put up this barrier where we say, God, I want you here, but I want you not all the way here. You just right there is good, God. Because to be close to him requires that you have to give something up, or to be close to him is going to expose something within you that you like to keep hidden. And so we try to maintain an understanding with God. Come here, God. I want you close, but not too close. Not too close. Can anybody relate? Yeah, yeah. Remember, it's the closeness of God as we come, listen, seek, and call on that brings that everlasting replenishment that we need. All four of them. Call. Come, listen, seek, and call on. Remember, you are a needy person. Every single person in this place, you are needy. You were created with a soul that is in constant need of refreshing and replenishment that can only be satisfied by the one who created your soul. You were created with this inherent need for God to fill you with himself. He is your constant replenisher. Don't let yourself get dried up with the things of this world. But if you stay close to your Lord, and you will find refreshment for your soul. There was a small boy who was sent to bed by his father. Dad says, all right, it's time for bed. Get up to bed. Turn the lights out. Brush your teeth to do all the whole thing. After the kids put down the bed, lights are out. He downstairs, he hears, Dad! What? Can I have a drink of water? No, lights out, go to bed. 5 minutes later, Dad! What? Can I have a drink of water? Nope, you had your chance. Go to bed. Lights out. I'm thirsty, Dad. Can I have a drink of water? I told you no. And if you ask again, I'm going to spank you. 5 minutes later, Dad? What? When you come up to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water? May we all be as persistent as that little boy to satisfy our deepest thirst and hunger for our souls that can only be replenished by the one who created you. We're going to respond to this message today by taking communion. So if I could ask the worship team to come on up, and those of you who are handing out the elements, if you would just begin, go ahead and start distributing those to everybody. But this is a great way to respond to this message. Because the responding, because communion really is to, it reminds us of how close God is, doesn't it? It reminds us of the action that he took so that there would no longer be a distance between us, but that we could always be as close as he wanted to be through the death of Christ. And you guys can just play, and that'd be great. But while they're handing that out, if you're still following along in your Bibles, I want to read a little bit last of the passage. In Isaiah 55, it says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And check this. This is where the refreshment comes in. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. And it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Amen. Now listen to this. This is very important. Ready? He says in verse 12, "You will now go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace." Hallelujah. "The mountains and the hills, they'll burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Now, this is so important. Verse 13, it may seem insignificant, but it's very significant. Verse 13 says this, "Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree." The King James says the cypress, which is an evergreen tree. It's an evergreen. "Instead of the thorn bush will grow the cypress tree," an evergreen. Well, why is that significant? Because he's saying, if you come, listen, seek, and call on me, you will find yourself without a dry season. The evergreen does not have a dead season. It does not have a dry season. It does not drop leaves, but the evergreen stays green forever. And so instead of the thorn bush, which is this dry, prickly, useless plant, is this the cypress tree, this evergreen tree, is going to come forth and birth forth. If you call, if you come to me, take what I'm offering you free of charge. If you listen and give ear to what I'm saying and you ingest what I'm saying to you and obey what I'm saying to you, and if you seek me and tread frequently after me, and if you call upon my name, you will find yourself without a dry season. Wow. And instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. Briars are a useless plant, but the myrtle was a very useful tree. Had so many uses, had so many purposes. So what he's saying here, that if you come, you listen, you seek, you call on me, not only will you be without a dry season, and you will be showing the green all the time. You'll be constantly replenished, but you'll also be useful for my purposes. And it goes on to say, here it is, "And all of this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." In other words, this miracle is what's going to make his name great. So let us be a people who are as persistent as that little boy who said, "When you come up to spank me, God, Dad, will you bring me a drink of water?" May we be a people who do not remain in our dry seasons. We're never meant to remain in dry seasons. Our souls were created to be replenished by God himself. Come to him and listen to what he's saying. You give ear to what he's saying. Obey what he's saying. You tread frequently after him and you call upon his name, and you will find yourself refreshed and replenished and preserved Amen? Amen. You have in your hand this cup of grape juice and this cracker that represents the body and the blood of Jesus. And if you can kind of look into the New Testament now as the significance of what we just said. And there's some words of Jesus that are very important. He said in John 7 that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Sound familiar? If anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his soul, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. In John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We have to come, listen, seek, and call on God. This is the recipe for a replenished soul and a constantly replenished soul. So, Lord, we are here because we thank you. We're here to celebrate you, Lord God. We're here to learn from you. We're here for you to point us in the right direction, Lord, to be led on the path that you lay out for us. God, help us to be people who not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you for everything we need in life. Lord, we are absolutely dependent upon you, and it brings joy and delight to your heart when we humble ourselves before you in that way. So we thank you for Jesus, sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, to make all of this possible, to eliminate that division that was once there because of sin. Our sins have now been removed as far as the east is from the west. You choose not to remember them is what your word says, and God, we stand on it and say thank you. Take this cracker that represents your son, and we take it and ingest it in Jesus' name. And for this blood that was poured out for us, and while we were yet sinners, you died for us. While we were your enemies, you died for us. That is love. That is that love. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us in this room to understand how close you really want to be with us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom to know that you are ever with us. And that your theme throughout the generations and generations was to be close to your people. Help us, Lord, to respond in a way that honors you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean. In Jesus' name, amen. That's good grape juice. Well, this is a good message. This is a message that should leave us out of here celebrating and rejoicing. Because what does it say? You shall go out in joy, and you shall be led in peace. So why don't we stand together? We're going to celebrate and we're going to rejoice. And I'll just send us out of here. But go ahead, guys. Let's do that Shout of the King song again.